Homoi would be the same way as sadistic, the same way as compensation is. He had to depend on the water under the ground. He wouldn't be, he'd try, he lost the mass, and the same thing with the city of Matomo, or the area of Matomo. If they didn't bring that water in from outside the district, they wouldn't have any water, they wouldn't even need a water district. And you're here to serve the people with water, and I think that this project should be approved because, and you should have give the approval on that, sure, if you want to do it, because if you don't do it, and just like Mr. Sullivan says, Rural Water Company is right there, and Rural Water Company is going to mine the same water as your water, so you're not going to gain anything. You're going to have a deficit of 2 feet of water in your well. The deficit will still be there when Rural Water Company takes it over. It'll still be there, and you won't have any control over that either. Thank you.
Can I make a quote from the DIR page 46? This project will place an additional significant demand on our water resources in the West Mesa as we have to the camp. And in our it is apparent that the distribution of groundwater levels at this area is approaching the limits of its groundwater resources right out of the DIR. And basically, that's what we're going to consider. Number four, in summary, the southern portion of West Mesa is at close to its limitations. And by additional water without previous advice effect on the resource. And so their old EIR said that the impact on the resource was and the whole issue basically is with water rights and water issues, and that is the way we approach it. I think personally the project is a great project for the Mesa. It's ideal. We have water resources. I personally approach it and we are go with it. I don't care who services we present to the community. But the water aspect that in the long run, there's an impact. And they point out in their own report.
That's the way I feel as well. I didn't think we were over there. I just thought it would be an issue. It would be breaking ground by that. It's not a gross thing with me. It's not an anti-golf thing. It's not a business thing. Or any comment on capital or something.
It's
not
to do with it.
Property rights. Has to do with sustainable water supply.
Ed Sauer from Tacoma. You know, as I look at this map, I see a big pond to the west of this site and also to the west of Tacoma. And then I have a question. Can anybody say what has happened in the latest on the solar fertilization concept? No, not these are solar fertilization. Different than these are. Yes, that's exactly right, but not the desal we're talking about, you know, the reverse osmosis stuff. I was thinking about the solar reposition. And I saw something about this some years ago, but I hadn't seen anything recently.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
But there's a lot of water out there.
Okay, no. County's pretty good at converting water too. They're going to convert 20,000 acre feet of state water to somebody else to sell. We got a little pair scrapping like a dog over a bone over water. This county, because of political personal agendas, got 20,000 acre feet sitting up there that they won't let anybody have, and they're willing to sell to Fresno or someplace else 10% on the dollar the taxpayers of this county paid for. I think it's sad. I think politically, in the end, those people are not pay for it. It may take 5 to 10 years, but it pay for it down the end when all it goes.
I'd like to say along those lines, that I feel part of the justification. That's right, a lot of areas there is that have been annexed into impact transportation, relying on water from the airport. We rely on water from a well outside of boundaries, they rely on water from houses coming. And this whole area is going to rely on water from the source. That's a large portion of it. Supplemental in some form or another in the next 15 or 20 years. It's going to have to be that way or else we'll have to stop. And we'll have to be conservation. Come to a sustained system and we'll be able to keep that for about 8 to 10 years. So, we don't have a supplemental source right now. That's no problem with it. We don't have an identified supplemental source. we've got the state water project in the Norris section, but we don't have access.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the same for there. We could do that, but it wasn't a vote when we were going the other way. That's what it was. I just want to see if the car was already so far. Any other comments? I think we had a motion. We had a motion to not send this letter. You think you can consider that motion, or you can say you might want to consider the part of the change, so I don't know exactly what to do. Or have a special meeting for the night. This is one that's our mission for us is just counting up the funds for May 9th. 5 months, I'm not going to stop this week. Or that's going to be something, whatever. But we also have to put through part of the time of the day. Okay. Then we could consider another meeting 1 week from tonight. Just consideration of the letter, what kind of
And basically everything in here is best with the water issue.
Meeting, and then at that time we can argue out the form of the letter.
Well, the letter has to be done on the 9th.
Spending a lot of real here.
But the board will put a few members of the board to come up with wording and we'll have a letter.
Cut it back to the board. We could schedule a special meeting for next one or in actually meantime.
Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, Monday after Wednesday.
To draft the letter and bring it back.
And if that doesn't work, we can just say, we can take a motion, but if the motion passes, we cannot send whatever letter that's formed, we won't send the letter. And just say, whatever it is, and just send it to somebody, something, and get a letter. If that's agreeable, we don't want to volunteer or something, but it's not working.
I'll propose you don't send this letter and we amend the letter that we have here by special meeting.
Second by David Fairbank. All those in favor of establishing the subcommittee to revise the wording of the letter, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All in favor of the subcommittee? So
aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Any arguments?
When do we see that letter before?
Maybe never.
When do you want to touch me? Is it for Monday, Tuesday, Friday? Is it for Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
You said it's got five for Friday and Tuesday to read the letter?
Student letters drafted, we can get out to the board members and get it. What we would do here is continue this meeting, set it as a special meeting for Monday, had made the letter available here at the district and to the members as soon as it's drafted.
So you guys come up with wording and deliver it to our house, or we can move back to
the... No, I think we would deliver it. We'd have a copy. We'd have a copy of it here at the district, and we would send it out to the district directly to the house.
Okay. So we go to the front of the time, you don't have to do it with the mobile, but...
No,
the ball will put on the phone.
Let me check my schedule. I want to go to
yeah, okay.
So I'll call you tomorrow.
All right.
It's a bit clear that it will not include wording about that I have to...
No, we won't put it in there, so
it's just
yeah,
it's just kind of stupid that we are if you're opposed to the content of the current wording, because you think it's misleading in your position, it's not just something else, you know, so or strike, you know, strike
the public in mind you have
news?
If somebody wants to come, maybe I
that's
can we do that or not?
I'm just going to comment on board policy, so I'm not under the Brown Act, if you have an ad hoc committee, which it certainly is, that meets with us and inform the board, which this does, is that it's not a public meeting. Now, that doesn't mean that the board can't make it a public meeting. I'm just saying that you're not required to open it up to the public. If you wanted to make the individual board members or subcommittees that are on that subcommittee, you want to post a date and time if you're going to have the meeting, that's their prerogative to do that.
If you make it an open meeting, you're going to have a lobby.
The board is going to continue this item, set a special meeting on a date that they choose, and of course that will be a public meeting.
Okay,
what are
the other ones?
What are we going to do on that item?
Let's set the special meeting at this time so we can get it again.
Okay. Monday evening?
Monday or Tuesday?
Either
Monday or Tuesday.
I can't get there until 5 o'clock. We can make it early. We can make it like 5:30 or something. Monday or Tuesday. Okay. I'll have it for you.
Hi. I won't.
I'm going to
wait tomorrow.
I think you'd be better to do it now. Maybe you can do it right now. Morning, you can.
I can make any time 7 o'clock. I know it's really good. But we're in the hospital rooms. I don't know if it's Sunday by miracle. It's Thursday.
It's Monday or Tuesday.
What are the dates? It doesn't make a difference.
Monday at 7?
I'm good. Monday at
7. We have a motion then to continue this item and set up for a special meeting on Monday at 7. At 7 p.m.
I stand with. Yeah, most of my work is final. We continue this item from Monday. 17 will be a public. About second.
Well, do we have to get it?
Monday's the 6th.
I think
the motion was 7, so.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
You could have that earlier than that. Yeah. Okay, this is. This is Monday the 6th, and this is Monday the 6th, 7 p.m. to continue the fourth letter on the EIR. Should I have a second? Okay, a second is Rick's statement. All of the favors say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that's item number 3. Item number 4 is district planification policy.
And Mr. President, Honorable Bullock, review the annexation policy staff meeting, and there were some modifications made on it. The staff came up with the idea of a retrofit program, and therefore the policy has been rewritten, primary section 4 and 5, paragraph B, which are indicated below, that the new policy would be in order for the consumer application, that must be located within the portion of sphere of influence zone approved by both RAPCO and the district, and that must be immediate adjacent to the Navomo Key Service District, or land zone that must be willing to extend as it's necessary at no cost to the district, and the owner of such annexation must pay all appropriate fees. And then we have new paragraph C, the district will not consider annexation of land that are not capable of providing water supply and irrigation facilities approved by the district to meet the excellent demands of service to the proposed annexation. The district will consider the following excluding a water supply. Number one, a well or wells with a historical 5-year pumping record or a reduction of district water usage by retrofitting on a 2-to-1 basis for a supplemental water supply. Previously, this policy was established by resolution, so you know, I'm going to establish the new policy by resolution. Legal counsel may have a couple of comments on it.
Okay.
The resolution has been inserted in your packet with that wording on to modify the existing annexation policy.
Yeah, I would just comment just quickly that modification annexation policy was before we board at the last 2 meetings ago, and the board asked staff to come back with a modification to the proposed annexation policy that specifically addressed the annexation of properties that did not have a proven well site and how that could be meet the district policy as well as the LAFCO policy on annexation for the sustainable water use. And what staff, after the research data, is in the back of the back of the report. But what this requirement is that this annexation policy that is applied to the paragraph C2 is that the ground, the proposed annexation does not have its own water supply, but they will reduce, through a retrofit program, reduce the district's demand on water at a 2-to-1 basis. So for every gallon that would be associated with the proposed annexation, they would reduce 2 gallons through a retrofit program of the water that is used by the district. So it's actually those 2 things that fulfills both of them, provides a sustainable water supply, and also has a direct benefit to the districts that it conserves water throughout the district.
The district went back and looked at its records, and basically the plumbing codes in California since 1991 required a 1.6 gallon per foot. So prior to 1987, from that on, it was a 3.5 gallon, but prior to 1987, it went from 5 gallons to 7 gallons, sometimes 8 gallons. And so the staff just took the percentages of what we had on the coast prior to 1991, and we returned about 71% of the water from district by the old set, 6 gallons, and about 29% of the newer ones, and 3.5 gallons of that. And the proposal shows over across the replicated, and we come out with, based on industrial standards, and they also around 5 and a third gallons for the flush space. Based on that, we indicated a certain household number and gallons per flush and flushes per day and per year. For a month, and we talked about 59 gallons shaving, and then the expected showers. Here again, using about 3.5, and using a 2.5 gallon fixture for a shower fixture. And what I thought was kind of interesting, I just went through the statistics here. A person takes a half of that, half a shower per day. I guess my thing takes the other half. But about 10 per shower and about another 1,100 gallons per day. Maintain a total of around 2,700 gallons or close to a tenth of an acre foot per year. It's interesting because the well reports indicated the average household uses about 4 tenths of an acre foot per year, which is about 25% of that. Talking to River Beach, they indicated they went to the retrofit program and they indicated the savings of approximately 25%. So there is some possible information on this.
Okay. Didn't I read in the last report that we had in the last 5 years was 0.85 acre foot per year or 0.67?
Yeah.
Within that range.
Right. That is irrigation measure.
So we're saying the feed units are going to use around 0.40 acre foot per year?
Right. Okay. Some of that 0.60 is the water losses that we have incurred for the DB pipe. And I think there's 15% of the users of the group are hydrants.
How does this affect the moving of salt? Something like the circuit is such a great part of the world. You know, it's not quality of the system sometimes, but it's a salt.
It is as if it's basically reduced the demand on the river front because of a lot of salt.
So it won't affect the amount of salt.
I've been activating in other areas. And
I'm just going by what I heard from you. Some systems don't have enough water for the salt.
Depends on what the water is.
When you look at the water, everyone goes to the water.
Will that won't affect the operation of the sewer plant then and make the sewer plant better?
It will increase capacity of the plant because we have that flow. Plant based on high volume.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the number was 2,776 gallons per month.
Right, basically the trade-off is 4 houses for 1 hour and then you would put one back to be 8 houses for 1 hour.
It would also just, as a side comment, it would depend also on whether or not the retrofit was on a pre-1987 toilet, which is a higher capacity toilet. As the staff report points out, and I'm really not an expert on toilets, but there's two pipes that are out there right now that are not the 1.5. There's just a 3.5 and 6.0 also.
Yeah.
So it would depend on the age of the residence and the age of the actual fixture to determine how many houses would actually be required to be located. The developer could find, obviously, a fair number of houses that had 6.0 plus, it would be less than the 8-to-1 ratio. But,
I'm not sure we do that kind of line for the
season.
It's hard enough to look at how we buy the load that we didn't even do it at this point, but it relates to item 4. Item 4, we use 0.40 acre foot per year. Item number 5,
6.38,
we're using a 0.58.
I think it's just
on exhibit A, page 1, 1.3, a small quotation mark, says average consumption rate of 1.5 acre foot per account. I'm just wondering, probably be consistent, unless those aren't directly related, and I think those are. At least 1.5 acre foot per year, then I would use 0.4 and then in the annotation policy, you have to go to the kind of critical. Have you done that by the mark?
I think so.
Yeah, page 1 is construction 1.3. It's the indented smaller font.
Okay, we have the font. I got it.
We're on page 2 of that one. You know, it says 144 units. If it's under 8-to-1, does that mean it's only building 18 units?
I said 18 units.
Actually, I thought it was 30-something. Probably next door to you, probably. And do we need to specify the type of rental fitting? I know in the calculation you talked about a toilet and shower bay as a primary one. Do we need to say that in the wording of the annotation policy, or do we just say this 2-to-1 benefit ratio that we're looking for, and we got up to the project?
Well, a procedure of how to proceed on doing it.
The way the annexation policy is, you have to enter into a contract. If you take a look back to the history, since we are kind of comparing 4 and 5, if you compare 5, there's a requirement that the, as part of the resolution, conditionally approving the annexation, the enter into an agreement with the district to reduce 2-to-1, I think at that point in time, if there was going to be more or less a bean counting mechanism in there, you know, what it would be to do a test of time that between staff and just engineers, I think they could come up with a model that would fit this from annexation.
And as you pointed out, if you come homes that are older, you may have to do fewer units.
That's a possibility.
As long as that 2-to-1 benefit ratio was maintained.
Okay. So it would be worked out between staff and the developer as part of the contract.
No,
so,
I'm not sure we'll be getting that much detail. I think it's what it's going to be. If you start off with the other one.
Okay. From an administrative standpoint, would you take that? The flip side coming out, so it's not the winning agreement.
Okay. We don't get a lot of stuff.
Okay. So there's the word in any other thing from staff at this point.
Understood.
Any public comments?
Terry Orton with Westland Engineering. I just need to understand a couple things. I was trying to get the nexus for the 2-to-1 on that. And what I'm trying to understand is the idea that you're going to come out with a net zero or... Okay, so the nexus to the net gain based on the annexation, I'm just trying to understand that.
Okay, you're using a legal part of there. I think you're correct because an annexation doesn't comply to null and tolling.
No, I was actually... No, I understand.
The district, number one, is it's the district looks at district information at a variety of them. There are a number of 2-to-1s. The second point is it just because we're annexing, this would only apply to annexing dry land. Part of the existing annexation policy shows part of the existing annexation policy requires that the component of the annexation to a benefit to the district, and this would add in that category. And this is done to help that.
Plus, Terry, our residence has done 2.4.
No, I know that's
more than that. But without 2-to-1 in there, we're not getting anything.
Yeah. The sacrifice that the office factor 2-to-1 due because the district needs to assure that the water savings generated is a permanent fee.
Okay, that's the sort of thing I'm trying to understand in this, because I know that since the city of San Luis Obispo just had a hearing, they had a hearing on this, and they just had a hearing that I was at about 3 weeks ago where they're looking to change that code 1-to-1, and their reasoning on it is based on the fact that they feel they have a responsibility in order on the water to basically keep an even keel in. And that was why I was just trying to understand in my mind. I guess I just was curious and I was interested in finding out what the situation was.
Okay. Barry, do you know that was talking about development? San Luis, as far as I know, I'm not supposed to be an expert on Sandler's policy. Sandler's fiscal has two different policies. One for developing with inside the city, which I believe they are thinking changes one to one. But you're also saying they're applying that to the annexation policy as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they don't. Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, they have a certain amount of water set aside, and they enlarge that. Matter of fact, they didn't go into a situation with saving until they had a proven case that they knew that they had a problem, and then they went into it. So I guess from your point of view, that you could actually, if you do discover things like another water source, something like that, you could actually rescind the ordinance and change it and go back to something else.
Correct. And it's just like I say, it only applies to one particular type of
exactly.
Station.
Exactly. Okay, thank you very much.
Other questions or comments from the audience? Okay, board comments? Do you think they'll use the point four, keep the point four in here and change the other point four, or just leave them like they are?
Well, I think they can modify the point four.
You know what I mean?
Okay, because that's the recommendation of the board report, right? Point four. And if you have future accounts, you can use that one. But the report report and the stuff you have to do. Okay. And standard size block.
Include the shower and the toilet.
Yes, the whole shower.
The whole job.
Those substitutions and the replacement of 4B and 5B in that current annexation policy, those things are almost so close, it's almost time to combine them. I don't see the effective difference between undeveloped and developed properties as well. As long as you guarantee that they don't have to pay all fees, whatever they do.
There's only one difference, isn't that, of course, I can't think of a situation where a developed property would not have its own water supply already in because it would be a precondition to being developed.
Right.
You know, it would not be developed without having its own water supply.
Correct. So what is that one section of that right now? Okay. Four comments? Questions? Motion before us is to consider this new wording. What do you think? If you like the new wording, let's hear a motion. And if you don't like it, let's hear a motion. Something new.
This wording is presented to you guys before you board. Resolution number 96, 5, 76.
Resolution entitled Resolution Board of Directors in Plymouth Community Services District and many existing annexation policies. To remove the current wording in section 4B and 5B and substituting the wording proposed in B and C for the letter tonight. Could you, summarize that wording already? The operative wording is that the project is a project concerning for annexation. That would be considered once they had a well historical 5-year company record, a reduction of district water usage by retrofitting, that's what we're talking about right now, I'll provide a supplemental load of three ways to drive a dry line to be considered for annexation. Any further public comments? Okay, is anyone comfortable with a motion of any sort on this?
If they can save that much water?
Well, we need to look at 1.5 months. But then, as mentioned there, the guarantee of civil water supply, as time goes on, water uses have changed within the remodel. So that's what we
need.
Well, the option may not.
More than 1 1 foot is ahead. I mean, that's going to be the best angle. That's 0.4 acres foot to an outdoor. He's got 50% right now. He's in one lower section of this area.
Somewhere between, I got between 3,000 and 4,000 dollars, depending on what figure. So that means the homeowner is going to have to pay somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 dollars.
What do you want to be?
No, I'm just
something more comfortable than 1.5.
I'm not sure.
Yes. And second by Director Simon. Let's have a roll call vote for the adoption of the resolution.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Yes.
Director Fairbanks.
Yes.
Director Small.
Yes. And we're going to go to the affirmative. So we've done the annexation policy. Item number 5 is proposed annexation. Item 15, new law. Mr. Jones.
Mr. President, staff is prepared to find the items for annexation that number 15 was the board reviewed last time. The time frame for the applicant's annexation. Statement of the findings supporting the document with respect to district annexation policy and active policy. And a resolution number 96577, a resolution of condition approval of the annexation, which includes the retrofitting of the rate of our T1 meet the district water department. And it's attached on the previous board's material. The board's information, the proposed annexation is this area right in this area, 7 acres, 5 acre parcel, another 2.5 acre parcel. This is the proposed area annexation. The area is in the Bureau of Environmental Studies by Adam Cole, and also the Urban Service Plan, which is the Urban Service Plan. And so this area meets the requirements of that book. It's not necessarily specific to the district. But it's within the sphere of influence. The area that's semi-shaded over here is basically California State Water Service area that we probably not annexed at all. Any potential annexation, just this area right here is the only potential annexation that is in the foreseeable future coming. It's also in the sphere of influence and also in the urban service line. Any annexation would have to go through the last review. So if you went out here, the district would have to go in and modify its policy to circumstances that it had an annex area out there. And so therefore, with that policy established, but the district can't add an annex, it's unique because the district can't work, so you can just for board information, there was another annexation of these 15 acres that was approved by last year, but after the district 2 hours expired.
The name of the applicant was what?
Hastings. So basically, all the board is considering right now is still an half-acre parcel over here, right now, Pepsi and Blueberry.
Okay, any communication from Hastings? Tell us what is going to be the project. I know that's not really the main thing.
We have no contact.
Okay, that's the summary. Let's go from 18 minutes. Mr. Mead, anything you wanted to ask? Sorry to call on what I've got.
No, well, the only thing that I'd like to say is that you know that I think it's retrofitting is the answer to me personally, and that I would just appreciate your consideration and probably vote on it, and I would do whatever I can to cooperate with Doug to get all this completed.
I noticed the issue. Yeah, go ahead.
How much, about, not exactly, but how much is the county going to get for housing, and, like permits and whatever, school fees?
$10,000.
Okay. It's less than what?
That's special to me. What the school is.
That include what the school gets too? Mm-hmm. That's what, 12, say 12,000 a house?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty well.
Yeah.
Some of
our
counties are not trying to make a difference.
I my brother builds, and I think that's the number he's been around as well.
Yeah.
And, intended for special areas and special road tax.
That's why they're building projects to stay water. That's why you're
realistic. So there's nothing real specific in the resolution or the attachments that address the property tax, not only the tax negotiations other than we will negotiate with the applicant or the county. Do we need to add something like one except zero? I mean, does the negotiation with the county mean acceptance to this?
Can I just bring up to date on a couple of things? I apologize for interrupting. As the board knows, I sit on the executive committee for the special districts. And the county has approached the special districts to, again, look at negotiating a property tax exchange for the special district annexation. So we're hopeful that because they are initiating the property tax exchange, that they're not coming back with the zero. And that's why, basically, it's kind of left kind of open here. Obviously, if we can't negotiate a property tax exchange, if we can, it comes back to this board for approval. Okay. If we can't, then Mr. Newdall, as we have previously discussed in via the thing that they agreed to, some type of minor assessment district that would equalize what everybody else is paying in the property taxes, that would have to come back to the board for approval. So, in either scenario, if we negotiate or with the county, or if we can't negotiate with the county, we end up negotiating with Mr. Newdall directly as a property owner, he's set up the master board to speak to approval.
Only have to negotiate with the prior?
Well, we intend, the executive, as you're going to see later on in the agenda, I hate to put this before you now, is that tomorrow afternoon, the new board of directors and executive committee is meeting and to form a team to commence negotiations. So I assume that negotiations with special districts is going to be forthcoming, and I'm sure Mr. Newdall has a preference would want to wait to see how that's going before he jumps into the river, so to speak, with the annexation. So,
my only question is that would I be able to go before LAFCO? That's my...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's...
here's the, I'd hate to guess your, what your development plans are, what your strategy is going to be, but basically, as you understand it, either the district is going to successfully negotiate with the county on the property tax return, or they're going to successfully negotiate with you. Either way, I think you need to talk to your own consultants, but you probably want to have that in the bag before you come to full LAFCO, because LAFCO starts a 30-day ticker on the annexation fees.
LAFCO really doesn't have anything to do with the taxation, right?
No, except that they only have, they have one thing to do. They're the starting gun.
Right.
They're the ones that, they commence the 30-day negotiation period. So if you didn't think you had to have the bag, it would not make sense to get this before LAFCO.
Yeah. Well,
My
concern is to move forward. That, you know, you can see the schedule I have here that's enclosing here. I've been over a year getting to this point. And what I'd like to do is to be able to come back for the final.
Right. But that has as much to do with the county as it does with this board. This board can't sit here and put the words in the mouths of what the county is going to say about the property tax thing.
Yeah.
So,
but well, I want to know what LAFCO is going to say about the whole project. So.
Well, that's something that this board can.
I know.
This board can support your annexation.
Well, with this resolution, it will.
Right, exactly. But what the LAFCO Commission does with it is an independent state agency, and they're going to.
But
I hate to tell you this, but it's going to be another discretionary approval process.
Well, I understand. But if I never get there, I'll never find out.
Exactly. That's the truth.
This is, if you will, the board wants to pass this resolution to vote support.
Right, exactly.
It's a conditional annexation.
I understand.
A condition upon the law.
That's right. But I was wondering if there's any mechanism that we can use here so that you can give the green light to LAFCO that I can go before LAFCO for their consideration, not on the tax thing, just on the project itself.
Sure, you can do that.
Can I?
Sure. Right, but
they won't take it
unless their tax situation
is on.
Right, right. So you talk to your own consultant.
No, you want to. Okay, well, let me ask.
I don't want to tell you how to do
it. No, let me ask you then, how much longer would I have to wait?
Well, This is what I can tell you, this is what I know.
Okay.
The county has approached the special districts to talk about property taxes on annexation. As you are aware, in the past, the county has said zero. Now, I assume that they would not be coming back to the districts again if there wasn't going to be something on the table besides zero. I would assume, since every special district is highly concerned about this, it's going to be a high priority item for the Special District Association to get in there and do it. It appears to be a high priority item for the county. That's all I can tell you. Everything else involved is
The way I equate it is that I got one half of a requisite in a month.
What you need to do is, you're going to, the next step here, assuming the board passes this, is that you're going to be entering into a contract with the district outlining the retrofit program and the other conditions that are in here. That, I don't think, is going to take a very long time. Concurrently going on with that is going to be, I think, some negotiations with the county. You know, other than that, you kind of got to, I can tell you, just roll your own dice, because
as Mr. Brown pointed out, the last bill was a special appointment to the special district.
Mm-hmm.
And probably rightfully so. It was his feelings and his take on the actual position that he had decided to not go forward for sure about this board's precondition approval. He felt that they had a viable chance to do something like this
exactly
going into the actual process. So, if this resolution was passed, then we should have that. Still have the last one.
I understand.
And that's kind of the reason.
But I would respect the request that you act on it and probably make it.
Okay.
Any other public comments?
Terry Horton with Westland Engineering again. I'm working with some of the people in the area. As a matter of fact, some of them within the Cal Cities area and some possibly outside of that, that was mentioned by Doug there. And we're supporting what's taking place here because we see that this is the, what he's going to do is going to be the first step that anybody else would have to go through anyway. And we feel that the whole area should be annexed in anyway. So, I mean,
you mean Hastings or what else?
The whole the whole area to fill it out. Well, yeah, I'd like. Well, we've talked about that, Doug, and I'd love to see if the district didn't feel that they could annex it. I talked to Lasco about that, whether it could be or not. And obviously I'm talking to staff, I'm not talking to the board members, and they think that it could be. But if that's not to be, then I guess the if the district would change their policy, they could accept sewage out of the area, and then they wouldn't be taking any liability for the water. But that's going to be...
Right now we like the water.
Well, I know, but that area based on... The recommendations when the South County General Plan update took place, this board recommended that area be in your sphere of influence. And every time I walk into the county, they turn to me and tell me that. So I think what you're seeing is that you're seeing changes that do take place over time. And we just have to work something out. I mean, all of us here are going to just have to roll up our sleeves, and I see this as being the first step right here. And this is what I'm hoping to get this.
Okay, now this is, yeah, that's the only project we're looking at.
I know, you asked the question, I was answering.
Okay. You brought up on the whole area. I'm not confused on the whole area.
Well, if you heard me, I said we're supporting them to do this.
Okay, I understand. I got that. Board comments.
Board comments. I see this as the first step, and I see the whole thing coming in behind. So I see the county getting about $220,000 for this, and we're all probably about three times that for Mr. Hastings. God knows how much for the rest. I see this right here, which is our emergency turnout. What I would like to propose for this board is that we don't annex anybody in until we get our emergency turnout. If we had our emergency turnout, then I could support annexation. I think we need the emergency turnout to just protect all these people who are going to come in. And it's not too much. If the county's going to get $1 million or $1.5 million in fees, it's not too much to let them allow us to spend $7,000 to protect the people in the county. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing. And if we got the emergency turnout, I could vote for all those annexations. But until we're all protected by some cataclysmic thing, then I can't really do that. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that, but that's how I feel. And I don't mean like Bevington going down or something like that. I mean like an earthquake or oil intrusion or something like that.
The only problem I have with that is that it looks like you want the emergency turnout to support it.
It is not to support annexation. It's to support this emergency.
I think we have a lot of good grounds for emergency turnout.
I think that we should support this particular annexation. I can't believe that a board would let one person go a year plus back as far as 4 years and not have a decision on this thing. There's no reason in the world why we shouldn't take this and other annexations that are going to come along. It's the responsibility, in my opinion, of this board to serve the people that live in the area. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And I think that we have to do it. And personally, I'm very much for it and would make a motion in favor of doing it.
The thing, though, is that all of these annexations should come down to the profits involved. So, you're not just serving the household, it's big profits.
But, you know, people have to live in these homes. These homes are... are not mentioning their estates, their homes that the average person is going to use and they're going to be thrilled to death to have. And I think that's a supportable project. I think we're kidding ourselves. We sit here and we don't make a decision. We rehash this thing so many times and we're still rehashing it again. I don't think that's necessary.
Any comments over here? I'm going to draw the motion.
Okay, is there anything
further? Just for clarification, the board interprets Mr. Director Simon's motion as approving resolution 96577.
That is correct.
And the second is heard.
Okay.
I know. I just want to make sure for the record.
Any further public comments before we act on the motion?
Last
chance. Okay. So, motion by Director Simon and second by Director Fairbank to accept the resolution with all the conditions outlined in here. We're going to have a roll call of the
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Fairbank?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Director Small?
Yes.
This is a contingency that you only sell to people that will force the county into helping the citizens with working.
I've got a room where I'll go down and put one in my
The only thing that made it for me on this is that this time we didn't have the policy on this kind of support. We're going to guarantee 0.4 acres for the year per household, and we're going to retrofit 144 residents to use that small amount of water.
You can't take it back.
I don't have a big problem.
You can't take it back now, can you?
Not unless you say something
no.
I catch on to.
No. No. I just want to thank you for voting in the positive on it, and the only thing I'm sad about is it took us so long. But I can understand, and I understand you, I heard you say, that with the retrofit and with the water situation, well, it did make a difference. And, you know, it's too bad that we didn't think about it sooner. I would have done it better. Yeah, exactly. So now we got that one online. Maybe we better, we got to move along and see what else we can find.
Keep us informed.
Right. Well, it wasn't my idea. I think it was Doug's.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. So that's item number 5, resolution is passed. Item number 6 is a water and sewer rate study by the Mr. Johnson.
Hi, Mr. President. The district hired a consultant, Mr. Perry Locke, CPA, to review the district water and sewer rates and develop a financial plan for the district. And Mr. Locke has recommended the board that all of the district water and sewer monthly fees and connection fees be adjusted to meet the financial needs of the district. He's also recommended that these fees be adjusted on a 5-year basis. Basically, talking about it is to get this is our present rate structure. What he's proposing is a third rate. First, going from 0 to 1,000 cubic feet, then 10 to 1,400 cubic feet, and then anything over 40 is the third tier. Looking at three tier rates, and the object is going to the three tier rate and the two tier rate, which we presently have, is to trying to develop some conservation incentive to use less water. The initial tier that the president had was 0.20, and then from 20 to 0, which would be 25 to 15 cents. He's proposing next year that it be changed to $0.97 and 30 cents, and then the upper tier is $1.25, and then adjusting each year for 3 or 5 years. Also, in the sewer staff, and this is basically how people talk about the sewer efficiency or the water efficiency. Our current rate for different meters. The only change here would be on the 3-inch meter, change it to additional $2, and that would be the same for the 5-year period. So felt that the capacity dues are realistic with respect to the financing of existing future needs and improvements, but the water rates should be adjusted as according on the draft. On the wastewater end, presently we're charging $16 per month throughout the district, both the form of the Southland plant and the Blacklight plant. What he's recommending is that a 5-year cure increase starting with 75 cents next year and going up to $22.46. And this is roughly the percent change, roughly 4, and the average 4 or 5% a year. The Blacklight facility is presently $16. He's recommending that to support the Blacklight facility because of the size of the plant and the lack of economy scale is going from $15 to $29 to 25 cents. The first year of going that big.
Bring on.
We're looking at some type of alternative to this one. And we can bring it back to the board, maybe a study session that we can actually see. On the water capacity charge, presently, I think it's $22,055, that'll move up to $2,789 to move up to, in 5 years, to $3,309. On the sewer capacity charge, plenty of $3,500, it will drop down to $2,086, and eventually move up to $2,500. Approximately third and fourth year, we catch up with our current fees of both of them. And that's basically what we're looking at over a period of 5 years. He has developed the fees so that the fixed charges, which are your connection charges, pay for fixed improvements and where the variable costs, energy costs, etc., are associated in the water rate. He indicated that the variable charge, if you use less water, therefore less has less cost, the power cost, and therefore less consumption, less revenue. If you use more water, the revenue goes up, so the cost goes. So he has some balance in that area, so they should kind of offset each other.
I'd like to comment on the 4,000 cubic feet. I think that what you're doing, you're not going to have create any conservation for those people that are using that in the 4,000 range. What you generally predicate your business on is the usage factor, and in this case, if you do that to those people, what you're doing, you're penalizing the guy with a bigger lot. A lot of 6,000 feet, which a number of them in Black Lake are of that size, simply couldn't use 4,000 cubic feet unless they left the hose on altogether. And the guy with 45,000 square feet or 1 acre, he could keep his hose on all day long just to keep the plants watered. So you're not giving anybody a break. You're actually penalizing that particular individual.
Yes, that's correct. The high users are penalizing, I think, with 150%.
The high users,
yes. Are penalized to try and force water conservation.
But that isn't going to force water conservation. They're still going to use that 4,000 square feet of water, or a cubic feet of water. And you're not giving... You're giving the other guy a break, but you're giving this guy a shaft.
I'd jump in on this. One thing that, I don't have any now, but I've had horses. If you go around 1 acre, if you've got horses, just like having a kid that brings 50 gallons of water a day. No, that's what it is.